to feel such a warm welcome and sense of God's presence. So it's a real privilege to be here. And thank you so much for being such a generous church towards the leprosy mission. We couldn't do the work that we do, that you're part of, without your generosity. And for that, I humbly thank you. I do realise that this has been a sad week for you. And again, I'm really pleased that you've asked me to come at this sad time. I believe Clifford was such a wonderful man who had a real healing ministry, very much involved in the healing ministry. And of course, his heart would have been touched with the leprosy mission and the work that we did. So this morning, if I told you just a little bit about myself, for the last 12 years before joining the mission in July, I worked for the Methodist Church in Widnes in Cheshire. I ran a charity called the King's Cross Project, and it was a small charity that was the counselling service for the borough of Halton for children and adolescents. And we had family support and different areas of work, including breastfeeding buddies. And if I told you I was the first man in the country to train as a community mother, I don't know if that would impress you, but I was the first man to become a community mother. I went down to do the training. A community mother is somebody who comes alongside struggling mums or mums of who don't speak English very well and gives them support. And I went down and did the full training, became a community mother, brought the training back and changed it to community parents, because I believe that there are men who could do that role for men who are struggling. But that's enough about me. Up till a few months ago, that work came to an end in June, and I was actually hoping, I'd planned to have just a couple of months off to seek the Lord to find out what he had in store for me. Heading towards 16 October, and was just wondering, what am I going to do? What do I want to do? What is the Lord calling me to do? And we'd planned the closure of the charity for 18 months to do it honourably and correctly. And that was coming to the end on the last Friday in June. On the Wednesday, somebody emailed me, and I decided I wouldn't look for a job until that work was done. And somebody emailed me a job and said, have a look at this, this suits you down to the ground. And it was a leprosy mission. And the first thing I did, like most of us would do, is go down to look at the salary. And I thought, I don't know, really. The only other job I had offered was a weekend shift at the local tip, and which my daughter-in-law's mum is the manager. And actually, that was quite good money. And I thought, well, if everything else fails, I can work weekends at the local tip. And I would have quite enjoyed that, to be honest with you. I'll enjoy whatever work God puts my way. But I looked at this job and didn't know much about the leprosy mission, and quickly went on the website and had a look at it and thought, I like it. And I like the ethos behind it and the fact that we are an explicit organisation that says we are a Christian organisation and we do this in the name of Jesus. And I thought, I like the look of this. I quickly did fill the application form in and sent an accompanying letter and CV. They received that on a Thursday, and on the Friday I got a phone call to say that the interviews were the following Tuesday, went down for the interview, and the rest is history, and I'm here. Now, just before I joined the leprosy mission, or certainly a long time before I joined the leprosy mission, if you'd have asked me what I knew about leprosy, I could have told you some facts that I knew. And if there's a scale between very clever and very stupid, I am on that scale. I won't tell you which end I am. I'm heading towards the stupid. I've got a science degree for my sins as well, so I'm not that daft. But I thought I knew the facts about leprosy, and I thought they were these. It was a terribly highly contagious disease, so that's why people were putting colonies away from you, so you can't touch them and catch leprosy. I also knew that your body went totally white, because that was the story of Naaman in the Old Testament. Remember when Elisha gave him the words to go and, it's a fantastic, fascinating story, to go and dip himself in the river seven times, and he didn't want to because he was insulted that the prophet hadn't come to see him, etc. So I knew that his body had gone white, so that's what I knew. And I also knew that your fingers and your toes fell off, because they were the very cruel jokes we told as schoolboys. And none of that is true. None of that is true about leprosy. It is the least contagious of all catching diseases. You can't catch it by touch. It doesn't turn your whole body white. There may be pigmentation occasionally on your skin, and your toes and your fingers don't fall off and that it's not a flesh-eating disease, but they can become shortened, as Christine would have seen in Nepal. So that's dispelled some of the things I knew about leprosy. But briefly, leprosy is a disease of anaesthesia. Derek may have told you all this last time he came, so forgive me for repeating it. It's a disease of anaesthesia that attacks the nerve ends, particularly in the hands and feet and the sides of your face. The parts of our bodies that were designed to take in, to give out moisture, take in air to cool our bodies. The disease attacks the nerve ends. So the first signs that somebody would feel or not feel, as the case may be, about leprosy is they'd have a numb patch. And when leprosy is in its early stages, it is absolutely curable. It is totally curable. Between 6 months and 12 months, you are totally cured of leprosy with intensive drug therapy, multi-drug therapy. Three very strong antibiotics will kill the germ that causes leprosy. However, when leprosy isn't caught early enough, then typically you'll see people's hands, you probably saw people's hands, Christine, in Nepal, going into what's known as claw hand. The good news is, first of all, the good news is that we bring hope because it's curable. Secondly, hands and feet can be operated on to get the use of your hands and feet back. Very simple operation these days, because we do thousands of them a year. The incision goes into the hand, they take the strongest tendon, divide that strong tendon into the five digits, and you can learn to use your hands again. So if it's your thumb and you close your thumb, your hand closes. People can go back to work, they can pick the grandchildren up and the children, and can carry on a relatively normal life. So it's wonderful to know that it's curable. I'm quite shocked about leprosy the more I understand about it. The more I hear about the consequences of not just a terribly cruel disease, but the consequences for the wider society and your family life. Because leprosy is a disease of poverty. 95% of the world's population, and I would suggest, or definitely includes us in this room, we cannot catch leprosy. 95% of the world's population cannot catch leprosy because our immune systems are so robust and strong that we can defeat the bacillus, the germ that causes leprosy. It's a similar germ to TB. It's a similar disease to TB. It's the same family. So 95% of us can't catch leprosy. Leprosy is so cruel because it picks on the 5% who are the poorest of the poor. People who have historically had terrible diets and poor lifestyle and poor sanitation, living close together, where they cough and sneeze. Like when we cough and sneeze and we've got flu, like my wife has at the moment, the chances are we'll catch something because it's an airborne germ. The same as leprosy is an airborne germ. People living in close proximity, in terrible poverty, terrible diets, no sanitation, they're the people that catch this very cruel disease. And even the disease itself is so cruel, but the consequences of leprosy are even crueler, in my opinion. Mother Teresa, who I may quote later, I've been beginning to understand a bit more about that lady. In my ignorance, I didn't know very much about her, apart from the fact that she was a champion for the poor in India and did such marvellous work. But she said something along the lines that to be unloved, to be unwanted, to be shunned by your family and friends and neighbours is a much greater poverty than having nothing to eat. And I think she was qualified to make that statement because she understood more about poverty than I'll ever know. And it's the consequences that, as I mentioned to some friends before, that in India it's legal for your partner to divorce you. If you have leprosy, it's grounds for divorce. It's legal to do that. It's legal to have all your children, the educational establishments can take all your children out of full-time education for good, legally, if there's leprosy in the family. It's also legal for your landlord to evict you from your house and for your employer to sack you. So all these things, somebody who's caught a disease that's got nothing to do with them, it's a germ. Carried an airborne germ that somebody's caught, they've got a terrible disease, and now all these other things are happening to them. It's a very, very cruel disease. And I think the leprosy mission, I love the work that we do, because we can look for the cure, we can look for operations, but we also go into the communities with educational programs, not just to put kids back into school, but to educate the wider community that this disease is the least catching of, least contagious of all the catching diseases. So you don't need to push this person out of their home. You don't need to push the kids out of school. You don't need to push them out of your families. It's a disease that rips families apart. It's very cruel. So I've got a DVD. It's 2 minutes long. It's showing you some of the work that we're doing in Mozambique at the moment. Nice little DVD of some of the work in Africa, and it's called And Love, that little short film. And I think that's the most important thing that we can do for people is to love them. St. Francis of Assisi had a saying that as Christians we are to go into the world and preach the gospel and use words if necessary. And I think that's a fascinating statement. I am a man of the word of God. I'm by calling an evangelist, I guess. So I know there's power in the word of God, power in preaching the word, but also I understand there's power in the work as well, and it's when the two come together, like you're doing as a church with Food Bank and people are doing with CAP. It's the word and the word coming together. I believe that's the move of God in this country at the moment. That's where the power is. I'd just like to read two passages from Scripture. The first is from Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And I'd just like to read from Matthew 8. It's a very short passage about Jesus and a man with leprosy. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer this gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Both those two passages bring together words and works. That's, I think, the key message this morning that I believe God wants me to bring is this message that God has shed abroad, it says in King James Version. God has shed abroad his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God wants to continue to pour his love into our lives that we may overflow. That we may overflow with love into our families, into our church, into the hurting that's here this morning because of the sad loss that you're feeling. God pouring his love into our hearts that we may overflow to others. We need it for ourselves. And we need it as in overflow to flow out to other people. In one of the other passages. I've lost a crown. I don't know if that's got anything to do with it, but perhaps it has. One of the other passages, it says that Jesus was indignant when the man in the same story, when this man came to him and fell at his feet. First of all, what a huge risk the man was taking, because leprosy, other stories of Jesus and leprosy, were that disciples were on one side of the road and people on the other side of the road with leprosy shouting, "Have mercy on us," because that's where they were kept, on the other side of the road. So this man was hugely brave to come and fall at Jesus' feet. And one of the versions of this same story said that Jesus was indignant because this man said, "If you are willing." And I don't know what any of us are going through this morning apart from I know that you've had a sad loss. But I don't know your backgrounds at home, at work, within your families, within other parts of your life. But when this man asked a question to Jesus, or when he made a statement, "Lord, if you are willing," Jesus' answer to all of us, to whatever we're facing today and forever, is, "I am willing." And he's indignant, not at us, but at the thought that's put there by the enemy that Jesus isn't willing. You know, your pastor Clifford would have known that in the healing ministry, that Jesus is willing. So this morning I would like to ask us all to just to think about the things that are on our hearts. You know, there's pains in families. I go through it myself with my grown-up children and their children. There's pain in work. There's pain in the world. There's pain in Jerusalem today. There's pain in Gaza today. And we've got a God who's willing. We've got a Saviour who is willing. And he's asking us to go with him. Go with the flow of the Holy Spirit's love in our hearts. The world we live in and the world that we're called to care for is not always out there. It's here. It's, you know, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But I believe that to do what God's calling us to do takes a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that in our hearts and in our lives, we allow blockages to the overflow of the Holy Spirit. And the blockages will be different for each one of us. Some of us might not have any blockages. Talk to me later and tell me how you do it, please. But I know that from my own experience and for experience in ministry in my own church, different churches, and people come in for prayer and counselling, the counselling ministry that I've been involved in, some of the key blockages, folks, this morning are these. Unforgiveness is a huge blockage in our lives. It doesn't block God's love for us because he loves us, because he loves us, because he loves us. But it blocks the overflow, I believe. And it hurts us, unforgiveness. When, in my background as in Christian counselling, when somebody has an area of unforgiveness and we talk it through, we have to come to a point where we understand that our unforgiveness of somebody else really only hurts us. Because quite often, I mean, I've heard some, perhaps you have as well, some dreadful stories, and you wonder how that person could ever forgive some of the things I've heard, particularly in children's counselling. And it's so trite to just say, oh, just forgive. It's not as easy as that. It's taking it to the cross and understanding what we've been forgiven and working it through with God and with love and with compassion and giving people time. But quite often when we hold unforgiveness to people, the other person doesn't even know that you're not forgiving them. And actually, quite often the other person doesn't even care that you've not forgiven them. So really what God's given us an opportunity of taking unforgiveness to him and saying, this feels dreadful, giving it to you. It's a sacrifice. Because quite often with unforgiveness, there is there's an injustice when we have to forgive. If somebody's hurt us and we have to forgive, there's an injustice. And it's a sacrifice to take that injustice and put it at the cross. But God calls us to do that. There's other things in our lives that will hinder God's love being poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit and flowing out of us. And really, that's not for me today to go through a list. It's for if you are willing to go to God yourself in the quietness and say, show me anything in my heart that's there. You know, David in the Psalms, test me, O God. See if there's anything in my heart. Try me, set me free. And that's a key this morning, that we have a God that's willing, a God that's able, and he's asking us to come to him with whatever it is that's on our hearts that's blocking his work. Some of us this morning might have not heeded the work of God in our lives. I mean, we know from Scripture that God is knocking at the door of our hearts this morning. And today's a great day to open your heart to God. Today's a wonderful day to do that. So if God's knocking at your heart and has been knocking for a while, just open the door, because he promises to come in. He promises to come in. So this morning, if you haven't done that, what a great day to do that. Just say, God, I come to you. Please come into my life. You know, clean me up, change me. Just put me on the right path. He'll do that this morning. God might be knocking on our hearts this morning with areas that he wants to deal with. Open up this morning to it. There's no better way. We've just sung Graham Kendrick's song, Knowing You, Jesus. There is no other way. There's no better way. I guess none of us have found a better way. His is the right way. It might be painful at first, but his is the right way. It's a part of our lives that we haven't surrendered to God, that we don't want to, for some reason. There's some things in our lives that we're doing that we like and we know are wrong. Have a think about those. Have a think what it'd be like to be totally clean. Have a think what it'd be like to be filled and constantly filled with the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that feel fantastic? I want that. I want to change. I want little areas. There's an area I am being honest with you this morning, but for my birthday I wanted an iPad. And I dropped enough hints to people, and I thought they could at least all club together and buy me one. And they didn't. They bought me different family bought me nice little things, and I'm very, very grateful. And I was really checked in my spirit by feeling being like a child, you know. I felt God saying, "You know, it's terrible behaviour." And then one of our DVDs that we use has a prayer on the wall from one of the hospitals. And it's a patient's prayer, and it's asking God to make them more humble. To ask, and there's about 10 items on this prayer, and not one of them is, get me out of here. Get me the new iPad, get me on X Factor, get me $1 million. There's none of that, and it made me feel so humble that, you know, I almost got into childlike mode, because I want, and I don't even actually need an iPad. I've got two computers at home. What do I need? You know, it's like the latest. So we have to be careful at these things. I mean, that sounds, you know, a bit trite, but it was really true in my heart that I was after something that was really material for material sake. And I know, I'm not suggesting that anything, you know, if you want an iPad, that you're wrong. It's just God was saying to me, Nick, you know, you need to just watch. You need to just watch yourself. It's not going to get me. It's just you need to watch yourself. The leprosy mission has a wonderful calling in its work, because it's an opportunity to serve people. And we know that in life people carry power, doctors, nurses, not suggesting that power's wrong, but sometimes teachers, policemen, politicians, white men wearing suits shifts the power up and down in psychological terms. Tall people, I'm not tall, so tall people. There's always somebody looking at me then. Not that it's wrong because we are what we are. But there's ways of moving power up and down, and if we're using power wrongly, then it's not right. And quite often in medical terms, it's the doctors and nurses and the medical staff and the leprosy mission with its experience that's got the power. But actually, we haven't. Because it's God's power, and anything in life, people are actually giving us an opportunity to serve them. It's not that we're doing them a favour; they're actually doing us the favour by giving us an opportunity, and that's what I find fascinating about the leprosy mission, and it's changing the way I think about service. That actually people are giving us an opportunity. I mentioned this in the church a few weeks ago, and the pastor afterwards challenged this church. He said because apparently there were awkward people on the housing estate who were making life quite a bit of misery for the church. And he said, from what this man's just said, these people are giving us an opportunity to serve them. And we would, you know, they think most of us would want to cross over and not get involved, but awkwardness gives us an opportunity to at times to serve people. But when we reflect on our opportunities of serving in whichever way, and we look at what we're called to do, what a wonderful privilege. There's a man by the name of Abraham Kuyper, and he was a one-time Prime Minister of Holland, and a theologian and a Christian man. And he said this: "There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, 'Mine.'" And I think that's something that sort of is driving leprosy mission, is driving me, is driving us. And the more we allow God's love to pour out of us, to flow out of us in a natural way, the more that we're fulfilling what Jesus is saying to us. Everything in creation is His, and He's asking us to look at it and to pour our hearts and our love out to it. Again, dear old Mother Teresa, one of her quotes says this: "At the end of our life, we will not be judged by how many diplomas we've received, how much money we made, how many great things we've done. We will be judged by, 'I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was naked and you clothed me. I was homeless and you took me in.'" I think that's again, it's back to where our hearts are this morning. And if our hearts are for the things of God, that's where our peace is going to come from. And that's where our calling is going to come from, and that's where our reason for being is going to come from. So in closing, the question is again is, how is your heart this morning? How is it? It's between you and God, not between me or me and you and everybody else. It's between you and God. Can I just ask you to consider taking the things of your heart to Him? He can create in us a clean heart. And the thing that he can create in us, and the wonderful thing this morning, is He is willing to create in us a clean heart. He is willing to do that. And all He's asking us to do is to take the heart we've got to Him. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do this morning? Hillsong, I don't know if you've come across Hillsong's music, Australian church. Hillsong have got a wonderful song, and when I called Hosanna. And when I first heard that, there's a line in it that's, you know, sometimes things stab at you, and you think, oh, that's a dreadful line of a song, but it's dreadfully wonderful, or wonderfully dreadful, one of the two. I'll just read this one verse to you, two verses. "Heal my heart and make it clean. Open my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause as I walk into eternity. Break my heart for what breaks yours." What a bold prayer to pray. Christine, you mentioned about your time in Nepal. It breaks your heart when we see things and people doing the food bank. When we go into people's houses and we see how they're living and the pain that they're in, it can break our hearts. And what a great thing this morning is to ask God to break our hearts for the things that break His. Because He can renew our hearts. He can make our hearts like His. And He can continue pouring His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So I would like to encourage you today. I believe there's so much love. It sounds like I believe there's so much love. I believe there's so much love here this morning. I just felt this is a wonderful fellowship when I came in this morning. Smiley faces, friendly people, telling me about the food bank and the different things you're involved in. You've got a heart for God. This morning, can I just encourage you that God has got a heart for you? God is absolutely for you. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He has a heart for you this morning. He has all the availability and the resources of heaven. He has all the love because he is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. And he is willing to pour out his love into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Pour out his love into my hearts by the Holy Spirit. That we may overflow into our communities and our homes. So this morning, let me encourage you just to continue seeking God's heart and seeking to surrender your own heart to him, because he's not a terrible judge this morning. He's a loving father that says, come to me. So can we close in prayer? Thank you. Father, I just want to thank you for the love that you've shown me, the way that you took me and shook me and put me on the right path. And the fact that you gave me hope and a future. And I just thank you for each person in this room and the families and the communities that we represent here today, that you love us, that you are willing to stretch out your hand to heal, to love, to take the things from us that harm us, to take the things from us that hinder your love being shown in us. So, Father, would you pour out your love this morning into our hearts by the Holy Spirit? Would you give us a fresh touch and understanding of what it means to have a heart full to overflowing? And Father, for any of us this morning who want to heed your call, Father, just continue to knock gently at our hearts that we may open the door to you and step in to your will, knowing that you love us and that you're for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.